Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah.
You do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
This cornerstone, this solid ground, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Football Ramble. England won another penalty shootout. The Euro qualifiers are back and we unveil our season predictions. Welcome to the show, everybody. Pete Donaldson and Jim Campbell are with me, Marcus Speller, and the banter beast, Luke Moore, is back.
Banter beast.
Wow. Thank you very much. What an amazing intro.
He's been called some things in his time.
Best I've ever had that.
You've been away.
I have. I'm sure there aren't many people that they haven't noticed that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Because they all follow you on social media.
Not for good reasons. Yeah.
Hey now, my boyfriend's back, and it's Luke.
Mm-hmm. Am I your boyfriend now, Pete?
Yeah.
Oh, I like that. Radio boyfriend. Podcast boyfriend.
Kisses and cuddles.
Afterwards. You and me, baby.
But not during.
The long summer. So you've got time for that.
Yeah.
Indeed it is.
Nobody got time for that.
Indeed it is. UEFA Nations League is over.
Have you got over? Because I listened to the show from Thursday. You were a bit downhearted.
I was a bit downhearted.
You feel better now?
Right back at it. Back at the races.
Can't give a good man down. Listen, tough times don't last. Tough people do.
Hands on the bronze. England win another penalty shootout so soon after the last one. It's getting a bit easy, isn't it?
Yeah.
I have to say, I never thought I'd live to see the day. I understand it's a pointless game and all that. So obviously that contributed largely.
I imagine the Swiss still wanted to win it.
I'm starting to think, you want to win it.
Yeah.
But to see England in a penalty shootout, considering the history of England in penalty shootouts, to see, because it was the penalties were taken at the England end of the ground.
Yeah.
And Harry Maguire steps up to the first one and that chant, Harry Maguire. Boom, boom. Yeah. You heard that one.
Yeah.
Is it La Bamba?
No. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And you've got the England fans partying away whilst one of our centre-halves is about to take the first penalty. I'd never lived to see the day yeah. where there was a party atmosphere and the England fans going, yeah. hey, another penalty shootout, we should be okay.
It was an absolute pile driver of a penalty as
beauty.
Well, wasn't it? And actually, you know what? As pointless as that game is, I'm glad to take England winning two penalty shootouts on the bounce,
definitely.
Even if one of them is pointless. It's just a good habit to be in.
Yeah, Southgate definitely. Was using that penalty shootout as penalty practice, get like experience for some of the players. You look at the takers. You had Maguire, then Ross Barkley, obviously Panenka'd it.
God, he would miss that in a tournament. You know that. Yeah.
It was a tournament, Jim.
Yeah. I'm going to say, Jim, a major one now, we have to call it. Jadon Sancho, Raheem Sterling, please, because he'd missed a couple of chances, unlucky with a free kick. Jordan Pickford himself. Oh, Kevin Pressman-esque.
Yeah. But that gave him real sort of, that really pumped him up.
He loves it.
Although the penalty that he had after that, he was pretty poor on. But there you go.
Pickford is the only England player to have made the team of the tournament.
Right.
You know.
And with the penalty shootout.
And then Eric Dyer scored as well.
With the penalty shootout victories, he scored in a much more convincing way than he did against Colombia.
He
as
did.
Well. With the penalty shootout in competition thing, the more you win them,
of course.
In theory, the better you're going to get because you'll be more confident. A lot of it's to do with confidence. So
and
one thing begets the other, I think.
Yeah. That nervousness is trying to get away with it. It's penalties. You've got to go out there and score, and they look sort of fairly relaxed.
I think a big part of the penalty issue, though, is that England have an inferiority complex against teams that are traditionally bigger than them. It's like you were saying about the Champions League, actually, and the sort of the finals where the bigger team tends to come to the fore. And I think England sensed that in shootouts.
Mm.
I was confident against Colombia, as I was against Switzerland, because I think England think they should beat them, so they probably will. And it's, you know, we need to take the scalp of a Germany or someone like that on penalty before we can relax.
Do you remember Iceland?
England fans, superior in the streets.
Yeah, classy
England,
in the streets.
England players.
Yeah.
Not as good on the match.
Don't know that we are superior in the streets.
No, they think they're superior
right,
in the streets. That's
course,
what I mean. That is the root of all problems.
England were the better team in the game, though.
They were.
Had a lot of chances.
Yeah, yeah.
Definitely.
They should have put them away. But I think actually as the game went on an extra time, I think they must have actually, in a weird way, if England hadn't won sort of 2 or 3-0 and broken them down a few times, it was almost better to win on penalties because of that experience and that
it's got more value, definitely.
Can we let the players rest now?
Yeah.
Can we just give them a couple of weeks off?
Seems quite endless, doesn't it?
It's fair to say they've deserved a holiday.
They're probably only going to get a few weeks, aren't they, now?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Oh, man. The demands on the top flight footballers nowadays.
I don't get how rich you are and how much you're getting compensated for being a footballer. Having just under a month to off.
Well, unless you can afford to buy some sort of bionic body, the money doesn't make any difference.
Well, spare a thought for the top flight African and South American players because you've got the African Cup of Nations and Copa America starting soon.
God, but you've also, the nature of pre-season now for the big clubs is that they're
so
all
long.
Tours around Asia or the US and they're exhausting.
Yeah, massively.
Absolutely.
Some of these players may be given a little bit extra time.
Yeah,
off.
You'd hope so.
Yeah. You'd certainly hope
but that's the exception rather than the rule, isn't it?
True. So,
something you guys talked about on Thursday was the England squad, this particular England team, who are exciting and going places we hope, not being able to fashion a lot of chances through open play. And I don't think they've scored a goal from open play for quite a long time now. And the reasons for that, and obviously you recorded that show before this third place game where again England have drawn a blank. I know they're a bit unlucky, but they didn't take chances.
Yeah.
The only thing I want to add to that, just because I think it's relevant to this game, is to me, a part of the reason for it is because I don't get to spend as much time together.
Mm-hmm.
And that wasn't mentioned on Thursday, but it seems pretty obvious to me watching this game at the weekend, because the reason I think that teams who play together as club sides all the time, they get almost like a subconscious sixth sense about the other players' movements.
This is what Kevin De Bruyne was talking
about. Mm. Kevin De Bruyne's quotes in it were really interesting about John Stones.
Mm.
So I wonder whether it actually is a good long-term strategy to just become really good at set pieces. Not glamorous, it's not sexy, maybe it's something a stick to beat people with sometimes, but a goal is a goal.
That's why it was so gutting that Lingard one was offside.
I know,
that
was a lovely move, yeah.
But I mean, even Callum Wilson, we got done again by VAR.
Rightly so. Did you think that foul was that clear cut?
No, I didn't. I certainly didn't think it was clear and obvious, but I mean, it was a foul, wasn't it? So I guess it's the referee interpreting.
Well, as I say,
as he sees it,
because
you can't really go, it's not a clear and obvious foul, but it is a foul, but I'm going to let it go. It's a weird rule, that.
In which case, if it's clear and obvious, you shouldn't have missed it and you're fired.
If Trent Alexander-Arnold becomes the first choice right back,
I think he might. I think
surely England are going to score from open play soon enough.
Oh, wow. Did he make 7 chances in that game?
He has to be come first.
He was phenomenal. The most amount of crosses, I think, an England player's put in since Beckham v Andorra in 2009, I think the stat was, off the top of my head.
The quality he's showing, the season he's had, the age he's at as well, and how well he's stepped up for England as well. I mean, we're talking, he can keep this up and develop at a good rate. It could be the best right back in the world.
Well, he could,
he's an absolutely fantastic player.
As you say, if he keeps it, I mean, it's unlikely that this will play out, but he could be the right back for the next 10 years or something for England if he continues.
The perspective which really hit home for me with Alexander-Arnold is that he's younger than Aaron Wan-Bissaka. And everyone's talking about Wan-Bissaka, you know, he's great, he's a good prospect, we've got to keep him in the under-21s. And Alexander-Arnold, who's, I think is born the year after him, has already won the Champions League. And is somebody,
two Champions League finals.
Yeah, two Champions League, and it looks like, for me at least, I don't know how you guys feel, but he has to start right back from here. He's simply better than Kyle Walker.
Absolutely. And Trippier too. And I feel in maybe, 4, 5, 6 years when Jurgen Klopp takes over as England manager and we're going to win the next tournament, he'll know him very well and it'll work out. Well, that familiarity will be useful.
I'd like to point out that the England finishing third at the UEFA Nations League is the first time since Euro 68 that England have finished third in a major tournament.
That just sounds weird, doesn't it?
Yeah.
It really Euro 68.
When I read that in the running order you put around, I had to check it. Yeah. It's not something that really springs to mind, Euro 68.
Well, I would argue the Euros never really got going until, one could say, 1988, when the Dutch won. It was 8 teams in the tournament. But I honestly think Euro 96 was
four teams in Euro 68. We finished third?
Yeah, that's it.
I think it was similar to the UEFA Nations League. I think you had to do little qualifying groups and then four went through to the actual tournament. Right. I think
the actual tournament is only listed as 4 teams, though.
Yes.
No matter how rigorous the qualification is.
Sure.
Italy, Yugoslavia, England, Slovenia. Soviet Union, and we came third.
Hey, it's good.
Two of them don't exist.
Yeah. Does that mean we run us up?
We still don't win. Yeah. Italy have only just been formed as a nation then.
Did you see Southgate said that the medals they received for finishing third were just like basically lobbed to them in a bag? There you are, lads.
I love it.
Should be enough in there.
Yeah.
Just got them down a little trophy shop.
It's better than having a podium and all that, though. That would have been particularly excruciating.
Yeah.
But what about Joe Gomez starting centre half?
Joseph Dave Gomez.
Yes,
I think he has to start as well.
I think he could be England's best centre half.
Yeah, I think he has to start. I think hasn't Southgate already said that Stones is going to take a bit of time out now until he starts games consistently for Man City? Which is quite a bold thing to say, by the way.
Bold, but also very fair, because he's said, yes, I am going to drop him, but here is why: he will get back in the team. He's so great at that stuff, Southgate.
He is Southgate. Although he's got a bit of a blind spot with Fabian Delph, though.
You think?
Do you think?
Think about it. I mean,
What other options?
When
he
said, "No, no," but people would say to Southgate, if you're holding him to his word, that he says, "I'm going to pick players who are playing for their clubs and they're on form and that." And Dell's hardly kicked a ball for Man City. I don't disagree, and I think to hold him to that particularly might be a bit harsh.
I just think he didn't have a choice.
No,
Dyer's had injury. Well, he committed to not playing Henderson because of the Champions League final, didn't he? Yeah. I think that was probably a commitment he made to Liverpool. I mean, given that Holland played Van Dijk. Maybe he didn't have to do it. And Henderson was only past fit on the morning of the game, wasn't he, or something?
Maybe it was just too much for him. He'll have seen him in training. I imagine Delph is the sort of player that works really, really hard in training. And also, he's the closest thing to James Milner, really, isn't he? A guy who is going to fill in where needed and just do a job that you ask him to do.
I think his attitude's pretty good. I think he's good to have around the camp. He gets people going. You saw in that Man City documentary. But I wonder, while we're talking about Delph, I'd like to see him move from Man City, because I think he's got stuff to offer. I really do, and I think he can offer. I know it's unlikely he would go to Manchester United, but a side like that, he want a bit of desire in there, he want a bit of legs.
Fuming to hear you say that.
Man United. Yeah. Well, some of their central midfielders have been questioned about their attitude in the season just gone.
Could he join the Raffolution?
Wherever he turns up.
Yeah. All I'm saying is Delph to me.
The Jose Lucian, mate.
More on that later. Yeah. More on that later. But I just think he's got something to offer. He's won things. He's got the right attitude.
He's a senior pro now as
well. Completely. I understand from his point of view. He's not got too many years left. And for him, he's probably on an absolute packet at Manchester City. It would be an amazing atmosphere to be around if you're a professional footballer. Yeah. He probably gets a few nuggets here and there and probably thinks, I am maybe good enough to break into the side. But anyway.
On the chat you had on Thursday as well, just because I listened to it as a listener.
You've got a right to reply.
I loved it. No. I don't need to do that. But you guys talked about the lack of ability to control the game in midfield against
that De Jong type player.
Yeah, and I think I completely agree with that. And did you guys see anything in the game against Switzerland where you felt it was a bit easier for England in the midfield? Because to me, in international football, that's really important. Mm. And with Winks in there, a fully fit Winks, to grow into that role, I think it'll be really exciting. But of course, we can't see him staying fit. I wonder if James Maddison is quite that kind of player, although he's an exciting player.
Touch further forward. But I think with
England, there's not that many other candidates.
No, there isn't. But you don't have to play with that sort of fulcrum, that deep line playmaker that the Dutch played with, and the Pirlo we know about, and Modric as well. You could have one or two midfielders who are sitting in front of the back four, and then a kind of a, not a number 10, but somebody who's more of an attacking midfielder in front of them.
Yeah.
And so there's different ways to control a game. Mm. But I think England, against the Netherlands, I think they tried to go toe-to-toe with them. Whereas when England went away to Spain in that 3-2 win in Seville, which was an amazing England performance, especially in the first half, the way England played, England said, well, we know you're going to have more of the ball and you're going to have control, so we're going to hit you on the break, we're going to do this. And I say the first half of that game was one of the best sort of sections of an England performance I think I've ever seen. With the Dutch, I think they weren't sure, and I think they probably thought, we'll go toe-to-toe with them and we can have them. And it turned out that it wasn't the case.
I thought it looked like they relinquished control of the football and then tried to play on the break, which is a gamble because you never have control of the game.
Yeah, but I think you can almost kind of, in a weird way, I keep going back to that Spain game, you can try and almost control the game like Mourinho does. Mourinho says, let them have the ball, and they still manage to control a game, his sides.
But he has a lot of time to work the players.
He does, but it's the same for everybody international level, though.
Yeah.
So that's the, just
to,
across
to
the
me,
ball.
To me, it feels like Southgate. You know, he played three at the back with like one just in front in the World Cup, and that was like his system, wasn't it? And that's what he stuck to, and that's what they'd worked towards, and that's what they were going to play. And now he seems to be quite committed to 4-3-3 in this cycle.
Yep.
And I just feel like if he is going to commit to that and we're going to play that every game, I'm not against it.
He's more of a diamondy type in Switzerland. I think he's almost playing variations of 4-3.
But he has to have the players in there that can execute those roles. I don't know whether at the moment, with the fitness issues we've got and the unavailability of players, whether against the good teams, it's perhaps a bit of a wasted fool's errand.
How would you like to see England line up then?
Don't know.
Well, if you're saying about the players we haven't got, I'm saying that the players
I think you need
someone.
If you're going to play with a three like that, and
well, Henderson and Dier in front of a back four,
I think you have to play Henderson there. As the fulcrum in the absence of Winks,
even though he's had a very good season not playing that role, and he said to Klopp, "I don't want to play that role."
No one else can do it.
Well, Declan Rice hopefully could grow into
not
that role.
Not a top player, in my opinion.
Is it time for John Drashelvi?
Yes,
there we are.
Get there in the end, and we can move on, can't we?
Sorry, Jim, were you going to say about that position?
No, I was just going to. I was just having a little daydream about John Drashelvi pinging him into Grant Holt. Yeah, further down memory.
Get him on that cargo plane.
Right. Yeah.
Well, Southgate said he's been very pleased with the players' desire and hunger to get better and grow as a team. So it's pleasing that it ends on a slight positive, obviously not the positive we wanted.
Well, it is a positive. You win the game, you lose a game, you win the next game, you come third. That's positive in my opinion.
I mean, Pickford was saying you learn more from the failures and all.
Yeah.
So, I think it's been a learning curve and it's all right.
They've learned how to be confident in a penalty shootout. You could see that in the players and that, it's just invaluable.
And they've also learned, I think, that to not let disappointment affect them. It felt like for many years watching England that every disappointment was just informing the next one and nothing would ever improve. And when Jordan Pickford says, oh, you learn from more than defeats, I agree. You can't keep having defeats.
No. Yeah.
So if you learn
from so much.
If you have a defeat and then you win the next game, then you can say that, right? England didn't learn from tournament after tournament after tournament. So hopefully we're seeing an era now where we will.
But do you not think, though, because people immediately go, oh, another semi-final defeat. Oh, as soon as we came up against a better side. I actually don't go in for that, because since the semi-final, England came through that group with Croatia, who beat them, and Spain, who are better than England.
Yes.
Yeah. England found a way to beat those sides, I know, against Croatia.
And if it wasn't for Jan Sommer, who's one of the most underrated keepers in the world from what I've seen. I mean, I don't watch him as much as some, but every time I see him, he looks brilliant.
He made some good saves.
If it wasn't for him, England would have won that game easily.
Yeah, and so I think it is more of a positive than a negative. It does highlight, again, an area where England struggle. But sometimes that area does need highlighting, and at least it wasn't highlighted in a next summer.
Yes.
And this gives Southgate something to go away and learn. And
so maybe the Nations League's been very useful for England on that front.
Yeah, then. We've used it to our advantage. Yeah.
Again, we've learned so much. We're like grand masters now.
Absolutely, Petey, absolutely. Portugal, of course, won the first UEFA Nations League ever. The trophy will sit alongside their European Championship trophy. They're having a lovely time. They hold two of the three belts. Incredible.
Yeah, very much so. It was the ceremony was strange, wasn't it? Give it to Ronaldo and then let him carry it over to the rest of the team.
That was a bit odd.
Can I just check that Marcus is now fully endorsing the idea that Portugal hire Eddie Hearn and get them to play into organise a game against France for their World Cup belt to become undisputed kings of the world?
I think that's how it should work.
Up for it.
Yeah. But they have that, though. I forget who's got the title now, the unofficial world champions.
And do you know why that is?
Yeah, who started that? Scotland, you know who started Scotland that? Did.
Scotland started that after the World Cup of
1967. Yeah, of course they did.
I love it.
The scene is so typically Scottish.
I do like the look of the trophy, though.
Yes.
It's a nice one, wasn't it?
Yeah, it's a lovely look.
I realised watching the game, and I should have realised what the trophy looked like because it kept flashing up. But I don't know what it looks like.
I don't know what's actually that, but I didn't want to be mean.
Yeah, it's on every logo.
TV show, yeah.
It's on every logo that you see.
But you know what I mean? It's not burned into the consciousness like the other ones are, you know?
I would say that the delivery of the medal to put over the heads of Virgil van Dijk, etc., was spotless. The way that who was giving him, I can't remember who's giving that, but
Sepp Blatter,
hand behind, one fell motion, just over the head, hand behind, over the head, hand behind, over the head.
The runners up take them off straight away, don't they?
That
system happens, and as soon as they walk past the guy in the middle, they take it off again.
Yeah. It's a bit different
when it comes to giving those things out, though. I mean, the facilities and the training and the nutritionists and even the sports psychologists involved in people putting runners medals in the game are just streets ahead.
It's a bit different the way England got their medals. Gareth Southgate said, I think do we get bronze medals? Oh yeah, hang on a minute, here they are. Yeah.
Is that recycling bin or is that what do you mean look in that bin bag? I don't want to look in there.
Just toss it over. There you go, boys. Yeah. Well done. Gonçalo Guedes got the only goal. Cillessen, he got a big hand to it, but he couldn't keep it out.
It was one of those ones where actually you can't really blame the keeper for it because he hit it with such power.
He has to save it.
You think?
I think he has to save it.
His hand just gone bow.
Yeah, exactly. It's just gone through his hand almost.
I think his dive's too high. And so if you look at it, it hits the bottom of his hand. I think, I don't know, I mean, you guys obviously don't agree. Marcus, what
do you
think?
He could have got a bigger palm on it.
I think he has to save it.
I don't know.
It's difficult.
Yeah. I abstain from this.
He was at full
stretch.
That's
nice being the host.
arm outstretched. Yeah. And it was straight in there. But it looked like, watching that match, I was like, oh yeah, this is what international football looks like. People taking absolute howitzer shots all the time. Yeah. Keepers palming it out. It was fantastic.
But the way the ball came across, the pullback was poor, wasn't it? So he had to make adjustments.
It was
and it looked to me like he couldn't get as much power on it. But I'm obviously talking.
Ronaldo was screaming.
Guedes is lucky, isn't he, that he scored
under that
back.
Pressure.
Yeah.
Do you think Ronaldo was annoyed that it wasn't him that got the goal?
Actually, you know what? You expect Ronaldo to be annoyed about that sort of thing, don't you? And throw a bit of a hissy fit. But actually, he didn't look like that at all.
No, he didn't.
He was
mellowing in his old age.
People talk about him not being a team player in the big games, but he absolutely was yesterday.
Do you think, though, when he lifts that trophy, he's like, that's another international trophy that Messi doesn't have?
Yeah, of course he does.
Of course he does, yeah. I mean, he 2-0. Can't have it.
Sooner or later, the South American Football Association, CONMEBOL, is it?
Yeah,
they are going to create a tournament for Lionel Messi to win.
That has three trophies.
I mean, they've done their best with the Copa America, but Chile have nicked it on penalties twice against them. I think is it twice the Chile beat?
They definitely don't once.
Yeah. Might have been twice when it was all Argentina. I mean, they don't need to. He's had a big chance.
There's
another chance this summer.
When that game happened, I'd love it if the camera just cut to the director's box and Ronaldo's just sat in there with the sunglasses on. Just nodding, going,
Chile, full Chile kit on.
Yeah, should have spoke to me. Should have come to me for tips.
Starts incredible. On Saturday, isn't it? The Copa America.
Oh, yeah.
Just like, football doesn't end
now.
No,
it doesn't. No,
those players didn't have a tournament last. Oh, they had the World Cup, but they didn't have the European Championship. So it rotates.
It's an awful lot of football they've played.
It's just exhausting.
Get on with it.
Ronald Koeman said that Portugal were the masters of defending when they went ahead. And that defensive lineup he is referring to there includes José Font, the former Crystal Palace, Southampton and West Ham man.
They were great.
Which I find incredible. He was so poor at West Ham. He went off to China.
He caught out against Holland once. Memphis nipped in? And he was very unlucky.
Clean sheet.
Yeah.
Won the UEFA Nations League.
I know. Have a bit of respect, Luke.
Exactly.
Sorry.
Pepe wasn't there because he was injured.
He was getting involved, though.
Of course he was. Yeah. But the Portugal, they are very solid. Fernando Santos has got them well drilled when it comes to the.
They've got some good players.
They do, and they were the better side by a long way. Yeah. Which is surprising against that Dutch team, and they're in an exciting place because obviously Ronaldo is some sort of bionic man, so you wouldn't want to sort of make any bets on when he's going to retire or even sort of dip his level. Bernardo Silva is a fantastic player that would be probably like. He would be the shining light, wouldn't he, with Ronaldo, not this
or Bruno Fernandes. Character.
Bruno Fernandes coming through as well. But then William Carvalho is 27 now. So he's at a consistent level in his game. And they look like a really strong team rather than an okay team with Ronaldo in them.
It's almost like you think of Ronaldo as soon as you think of Portugal. Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying you do automatically think this consciously, but you think, oh, they've got Ronaldo like a one-man team kind of thing. Yeah. But they're not. I mean, they've got a load of good players. And the players they brought off the bench, like Neves, Moutinho, Rafa, the young kid.
But they've still got José Font in defence.
Yeah.
Remarkable. Bloody remarkable.
Do you think Ronaldo will make the next World Cup? I think he probably will.
I think he's got to be aiming for that, right?
Yeah.
He'll be there.
Yeah.
He'll be there.
Big time.
Don't worry about that.
Manager.
Before we go to an ad break, very sad news to hear the passing of Justin Edinburgh.
Yeah,
just came out of nowhere, didn't it?
Absolutely tragic. Yeah, I mean, suffered a heart attack just after a couple of days after the Champions League final, which I think he was involved in. I think he was over in Madrid doing some work over there. Mm-hmm. Looked full of life, apparently. Obviously, just delivered Leyton Orient back to the Football League. 49 years old
absolutely
as well.
Horrendous.
Absolute tragedy. Very, very sorry to hear that.
Yeah, a lot of nice tributes coming in for him. But
by all accounts, a lovely, lovely man as well.
And he fostered a real atmosphere at that club as well. And there were some wonderful videos of him just larking about with his players. It's horrible.
Yeah, it really is horrible. All right, let's have a quick ad break. And after which, we'll talk about some European Championship qualifiers.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about United Healthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the year in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
Hi, I'm Joe Kinnear and you're listening to Football Ramble.
Hello, I'm Xavi Alonso and you're listening to the Football Ramble.
Two classics.
Yeah.
Well, often put in the same sentence, those two.
Joe Kinnear.
If only Joe Kinnear could have got hold of Xavi Alonso as a manager. Yeah.
Well, he had good contacts, but they obviously weren't that good. Before we go to the emails, Luke Moore has an enormous update.
Yes, indeed, Marcus. I've got some very exciting news. In fact, we all have. I'm delighted to report that the Football Ramble officially, pin your ears back here, the Football Ramble officially will become Football Ramble Daily from next season. That's right. Alongside the two regular rambles you're used to hearing each week, we're going to have three more shows featuring some of us and some of our most frequent collaborators, as well as some new faces too. All this adds up to Football Ramble Daily for the 2019-20 season from Monday the 5th of August. And obviously, we couldn't be more excited. You can tell by the gasps around me. Keep checking back throughout the summer for more details and further announcements of the type of shows we'll be making. At Football Ramble on Twitter and at The Football Ramble on Instagram is where you'll get all the latest news. Football Ramble Daily from the 5th of August next season.
My giddy aunt just got giddier.
She's like, giddied herself silly.
She's fallen off her chair. It's like Avengers Assemble. I'm just worried there's going to be a Football Ramble shaped Thanos in the picture.
You might be it.
Oh, no.
Pete, if you look around the room in the group and there's no Thanos, then you are that Thanos. There we go. Exciting, right?
Yeah.
So keep checking back on all the social media and we'll drip out more stuff through the summer as well. Mm. But the salient facts are Football Ramble Daily from the 5th of August.
Get on that.
It's the FRD, baby.
Yeah, and it's the emails. Say I'm the only bee in your bonnet.
Not the bees! Ah! You've got mail.
Bad bees!
Ooh la la. It's time for emails. Bad bees. I think there was a bee infestation somewhere in a match in South America. I do believe that somebody tweeted, and it's just these horrible set of bees that had infected a chair in the stadium.
I tell you, in South America, you get some serious bees.
Naughty
as well.
Bees. Killer bees. Yeah. Hi, guys. Just to continue the depressing discussion from the last podcast, absolutely hit the nail on the head about the English fans, etc. They are a disgrace. As a Welsh fan, I just wanted to highlight that since our joint appearance at Euro 2016, there have only been 9 Welsh football fan arrests whilst abroad, all related to drunkenness and flares.
Right.
I like the idea that it was the fashion abomination that is flares rather than actual flares. England comparison appear to have over 100 arrests in this period. I realise we didn't appear at Russia and have a significantly smaller population, but I just wanted to raise the point that we clearly know how to behave when following our team around Europe. I'm sure our Irish and Scottish counterparts have similar stories.
So do Ireland, by the way. I mean, Ireland travel in massive numbers and like to get on the booze.
They behave themselves, can't they?
But we were talking about the superiority complex of England as well. Jim brought up that very good point.
Exceptionalism.
The thing is, though, I would like to point out that the England fans in the stadium in that third place playoff, that's... Like I said before, England have got such a phenomenal support in terms of numbers and they make such a noise and all that I know it's a painfully obvious thing to say, but if they could get rid of that awful section, it's England, because it's such a shame because it could be so, so
good.
Could
be an asset. Yeah. Absolutely.
Could be so, so good. And unfortunately, it does become a distraction.
It was. Could we include the England ban in that horrible section as well?
Got to take that on its merits. You're going to have to make a decision on the England ban.
Maybe you trick them into like walking off a cliff and the others follow them or something.
That's harsh, Jim.
That is harsh.
That is harsh. Like the Pied Piper.
But it was awful to see a lot of people, a lot of villagers, like city folk, applauding as the England fans left the stadium for the final time in Portugal. Hello to... I'm enjoying this.
Hang on, they were applauding?
Yeah, they were lining the streets and applauding the England fans away from their town.
Thank God you're leaving.
Yeah, it wasn't nice to see. Adam Johnston has got in touch. I saw Luke Moore. By the way, have we got a shout on the cafeteria?
Cafeteria thing. That? So, I obviously did hear that. And my initial reaction was, there must be some truth in this because I do go to that Sainsbury's.
Right.
But I don't remember the specific incident itself.
Right.
So I can't deny it.
Yeah.
But I can't confirm it. And if I did do it, it almost certainly would have been through accident
rather than
kind of price-based fury.
I don't even like coffee. Why am I looking at this?
What I'll try to do is just make a quick, cheap cup of coffee in there. I got rumbled.
If you drop it like a cafeteria, because it's such thin glass, you would just still have a handle with two rings, wouldn't you, really?
I don't even drink coffee, so it wouldn't have been
a good point. What happened with the suit?
Oh, God, yeah.
What happened with the suit? Oh, yeah, you Ubered your suit to
the airport.
Do
you want the actual story about
that? Yes, please.
Well, how long is it?
Yeah, I'll make it as quick as I can. Right. Yeah, you're just saying exactly what the listeners are thinking.
How long's a piece of thread?
I got 10 minutes outside Gatwick Airport.
Yeah.
Not enough time to go back. About 45 minute drive back, so an hour and a half each way. Realised that I'd left my suit for my brother-in-law's wedding and Mimi's dress in the same bag at home.
Oh, God.
Right.
And it was a space-themed wedding, so Mimi had like a special dress and everything. And so she had a really quick idea, which was to call our downstairs neighbours who've got a key. So we called them. They weren't in. She got the babysitter for her son to go up into our flat, get the suit and the dress while I called an Uber and chuck it in the back of the Uber. Then I called the Uber guy through the app and said, can you just get as quick as you can, please? And I'll give you a tip. And like an absolute champion, he got there on time.
That's an excellent story.
I waited in the drop-off bit for him. Mm. And he was amazing. He jumped out the car with the suit and was like, go, go, go. And I just hanged it on. And we made it probably about 10 minutes to spare.
Houston, oh, we brilliant. Have a suit.
It was amazing.
That's so, very well played.
So it was a costly mistake. Yeah. It cost a few quid. But as everyone out there who knows who was married, it's probably most important that I kept my wife happy. And I was able to do that.
You've done very well.
It's done. I don't just go around Ubering things to different locations, as you guys
are smashing cafeteria.
I fancy a rice
Ubering
pudding.
Everywhere.
Right, get me a rice pudding.
Do we have another story?
It's not like Bono's hat.
Adam Johnston has got in touch. I saw Luke Moore at a grocery store in London yesterday. I told him how cool it was to meet him in person, but I didn't want to be annoying and bother him and ask him for photos or anything. He said, oh, like you're doing now. I was taken aback and all I could say was, huh? But he kept cutting me off and saying, huh, 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 and closing his hand shut in front of my face. I walked away and continuing my shopping, and I heard him chuckle as I walked off. When I came to pay for my stuff up front, I saw him try to walk out the doors with like 15 Milky Ways in his hands without paying. The girl at the counter was very nice about it and professional and was like, sir, you need to pay for these first. At first, he kept pretending to be tired and not hear her, but eventually turned back around and brought them to the counter. When she took one of the bars and started scanning it multiple times, he stopped her and told her to scan them in each individually to prevent any electrical interference, and then turned around and winked at me. I don't even think that's a word. She scanned each bar and put them in a bag and started to say the price. He kept interrupting her by yawning really loudly.
Yeah, all that happened.
Is that right?
Yeah. All that happened. Exactly.
I'm enjoying these tall tales from Luke Moore.
That is that happened, yeah. That's exactly right.
To quote every teenage boy on Twitter, didn't happen.
Yeah.
None of that happened.
Literally none of that is true.
Hello. Have you ever eaten a Milky Way?
Oh, yeah, of course. Yeah.
Have you got a taste for the way?
I know. You know how I know he's wrong?
It was a NASA themed wedding.
I was by the doubles.
Okay, yeah, James, I know you said no more Nazi birthdays, but technically this is completely different. Your confusion, Pete, is that you actually share your birthday with Hitler's death day.
Oh, so you're reincarnated.
A truly heartwarming.
And you were born in 45 as well.
Exactly.
So.
Exactly.
You're another host body.
If you would like to say hello, shut the
slightly more liberal politics, but
Only slightly though. Let's go to the European Championship qualifiers. Wales lost away in Croatia, setback for Giggs and his guys. Mm. Croatia have still never lost a home Euro qualifier. Quite impressive.
Really. A young nation, but impressive nonetheless.
Yeah, absolutely. Very much so. Wilson missed a chance early on after Gareth Bale took one of the longest throw-ins in the history of mankind.
To the point where he didn't fall over, did he? But he lay on the floor. He had so much bodily momentum.
It was incredible. If you haven't seen that Gareth Bale throw-in, check it out.
It's a cannon. Can I be Ramble Dickhead of the Week?
What, did he have his right foot raised?
I don't think it was a legal throw-in.
Why?
I think one of his feet were off the ground when he threw it. I checked the laws earlier.
No, you can't. You've got to have both feet on the ground.
Exactly, it's the kind of guy I am. And I'm happy it went. I'm happy it continued.
Were you impressed with what you saw?
Oh, it was amazing.
Excellent. It was a spinner.
Yeah.
And I wish a goal had been scored after.
It was one of those things, Marcus, where you know when someone scores an amazing goal in like a 4-1 defeat and it's never remembered. Because the guy didn't score,
that's right.
It's not going to be remembered. But well done to you.
It's going to be chopped off. Pete's got it here.
I've got it here. Look. Picks it up really quick. Spinner.
Oof. No, I think he's fine.
He's definitely got his trailing leg.
Look at the replay.
We need to see the replay. So would they have had VAR in that game?
For a throw-in?
Oh, Peter, you've knocked it on too far.
Right foot, right foot.
Yeah.
Massively off the ground.
It does a little kind of like a ballerina. It's very like a ballerina throw-in.
I'm happy you got the benefit of the doubt.
Mm. Yeah.
Unfortunately, the guy didn't score.
Well, Wales, Peter.
I just wanted to say I'd rather see... I don't care about the 2 feet on the ground thing. I think you should be able to do whatever.
I agree with that.
I agree with that too.
Spectacular.
Fell throw-ins are a waste of time.
Stupid. Yeah.
Wales are away to Hungary tomorrow night. Hungary did beat Croatia, of course, unexpectedly. Wales third in the group on 3 points. Hungary top six with Croatia, but both of those sides have played one more match than Wales.
Well, people said that the Hungary shouldn't bring back in Hidakuti and Puskás, but I mean, that result against Croatia shows that it was absolutely the right decision.
Indeed, it was.
I'm happy they'll do the same again against Wales.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, 2-1 away to Croatia, it's not terrible. And
they got back in the game as well.
Yeah, they did. I understand they still get 0 points, but in terms of goal difference, in terms of head to head, all that kind of stuff.
Last 10 minutes were very, very exciting.
Not too shabby. Oh, yeah, they did have I mean, Croatia had a chance as well, but there was a moment where they could have equalised, but they didn't. Of course, Scotland beat Cyprus 2-1, a last minute Oliver Burke goal. Got Steve Clarke off to a winning start. The Scotland manager.
It wasn't as simple as that, though, was it?
It wasn't, was it?
There was an equaliser. It was fairly late on, wasn't it?
Ionis, it looked like they
might mess it up.
He scored in the 87th minute to equalise.
Did you guys see the Mark McGee coverage of this?
I did.
It's so good. Just for those who didn't, Sky Sports News were covering it. I think it was Sky Sports News. And what they do, if you've got Sky Sports News but you haven't got Sky Sports, you can watch updates. They keep throwing to it. And yet, like Soccer Saturday, they have someone watching the game.
Yeah.
Mark McGee, they cut to Mark McGee, who's commentating in a Soccer Saturday style on the Scotland-Cyprus game, and it's 1-1. And he's just talking, oh, and this is happening, that's happening.
No, I think Cyprus has just equalised.
But then, but Scotland score.
Yeah, but they scored about a minute and a half after Cyprus scored.
Yeah, and
they, so Cyprus equalised. So they went to him, and he's sitting there going, yeah. And he's sort of talking through, and he's going, oh, yeah, yeah they've equalised. Oh, dear, dear, dear. Oh, Scotland scored.
He just goes, no, he just goes, and Scotland are on the attack now, and goal. But to the point, I'm not suggesting you should be so ridiculously biased that it's terrible to view him, but I'd like to know what's going on.
Yeah.
And the way he says it, it's impossible to know who scored.
I think he's safe in the knowledge that Scotland have already got a playoff spot secured in the hope of qualification.
He's gone into that attitude of that gig as a dead rubber. It's a dead rubber. It's a waste of my time.
After losing to Kazakhstan, Scotland needed a win, so a draw really at home to Cyprus would have been quite damning.
Screamer from Andy Robertson as well.
Oh, nice one, yeah. Mm. Good to see him. Good to see one of probably their only world class player at the moment.
You can't rely on your world class right back to be scoring
left
for
back,
you as well.
Though, was he right
course,
back?
No, left back.
No, left back. Of course, he is. Yeah.
Well, no, I wondered if he'd have been switched over.
Oh, I didn't see the game.
Tierney plays on the right.
Yeah. But yeah, they're third on the same points as Russia, three behind Belgium, who they play tomorrow evening away. Press them. Yeah. Press them because Kevin De Bruyne thinks
press them like flowers in a book.
I did find it funny when Kevin De Bruyne was saying about John Stones. It's like, no, I agree with you, but that was a really bad error from John Stones. That was very ponderous.
The context is helpful. Yes. I appreciate that. Uh-huh. But there's no way you should be doing that. I wish a reporter had said that to De Bruyne. Thanks for the quotes. Appreciate that. Uh-huh. But you're out of your mind.
Say something. It's a video.
Ireland got a good point away to Denmark. Big point for Mickey McCarthy. Shane Duffy got the equaliser. A late equaliser. 7 points from three matches. And one of their toughest matches out of the way. McCarthy's Ireland. They played Gibraltar this evening. You'd imagine that would be another win. Let's get more than one goal, Mick. You're not scoring many goals. I appreciate England aren't either. Different teams, different chats.
Duffy made amends because he got caught napping for the first Denmark goal.
Yeah.
And Christian Eriksen was funny afterwards. And they said, do you think a draw was a fair result? And he just went, no.
that Denmark will be disappointed with themselves. Ireland, though, delighted. Mm. Yeah. Good point on the road.
Yeah, absolutely. For
a
big
to
Mick.
Denmark. It's not an easy place to go.
Ding-dongs of late, haven't they, Ireland, Denmark?
Presumably big Mick McCarthy.
Well, when you say ding-dongs, I mean, Denmark hammered them in that playoff, didn't they?
All right, a ding.
Yeah. But they provided a bit more dong.
A ding in which there was no dong in return. Presumably Big Mick spent their post-match press conferences talking about Ipswich, didn't
they?
When they equalised, did Mick McCarthy start telling the away fans, the Irish fans, just to F off?
Yeah.
In true Ipswich in Ipswich style. At Northern Ireland got a good win away to Estonia. They're playing their part in this group. They're doing what they set out they wanted to do. They had a turnaround there, Washington and McGuinness, on 77 and 80 minutes. Three wins from three for Northern Ireland. The Green and White Army are away to Belarus tomorrow evening. Now, they've still got to play Germany and the Netherlands.
Oh, they're fine.
They've got some tough ones coming down the road.
They do. But if they win away to Belarus, which they can, they'll have given themselves the best chance of qualifying. And that's what O'Neill said, and that's what everybody says. You know, you've got your two games against Estonia and Belarus first. You've got to win four out of four. Well, they've won three out of four so far.
Yeah.
You never know. They could make something.
And on a semi-serious point, they've got their fixtures in the right order, right? Because you don't want to be playing Netherlands away, then Germany at home in the first two games. Mm. That becomes really prevalent in like a World Cup.
Totally.
And you think we've got a tough group, but you know what? We're playing Iran first.
Yeah.
If you're playing Portugal, then Brazil first, you're out of it
like
before
the
you even
Ivory
know.
Coast.
Exactly. Mm. So there we go.
No, that's right. Because if Northern Ireland, they'd won only one of the first four or something, they think, all right, well, what are we playing for here? Whereas now, their players will be thinking, right, if we can just, you never know. It does seem very unlikely, of course. Hmm. But you're giving themselves the best of chances.
They've got a track record of punching above their weight, Northern Ireland, so good on them.
Yeah, have a bit
of respect. You never know. I'll tell you what, though, put it another way. Germany and Netherlands, if you offered them a minnow, in quotes, to be playing against, they wouldn't pick Northern Ireland.
No, I don't think they would.
So, it stands for something.
Absolutely, yeah. What about the Women's World Cup?
Yeah,
it's underway. Well underway, and England are off to a winning start. They beat Scotland 2-1. Decent start for those Lionesses. Scotland playing in their first World Cup as well, Jim.
Yeah.
Nice to see.
They were really good.
Were you supporting England, Jim?
Yes.
Good, mate.
Okay. Bit of an interrogation.
Yeah.
Are the questions going to get harder than this?
Yeah.
Very much. To find a general.
All right, was it a penalty?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think we needed to go to VAR for that one. It looped up in the air as soon as it ran.
Yeah.
Well, what?
Ball to hand.
It's clear,
and
you guys covered it really well on Thursday. I'm allowed to say that because I wasn't present. Mm. These laws, when they pertain to handball and actually offside, that the right decision has been made as the laws have been written up, but the laws are an ass.
Indeed.
Because the Jesse Lingard one, to go back to that, if Jesse Lingard's a size 6, not a size 8, he's not offside.
And also the offside rules to stop goal hanging in there.
Exactly.
I understand the rules sort of develop and evolve, but yeah, anyway.
But I should say that people who are keen for some Women's World Cup content of depth should stay across Andy Brassel's at the match, because he's over in France at the moment, and his episode on England v Scotland will be available shortly on the Continent feed, so keep checking back on that.
Yeah, England in a group with Japan. Argentina, and they should go through that. I know Japan are handy.
It's a tough, I know England beat them before, it's a tough old group to start off, especially with the, I mean, they've got through the Scotland test, which is the big thing.
Which
England,
is important.
England once again easing themselves into a tournament.
Yeah.
I didn't think they were going to make it in the end.
Well, they won the Sheep Believes Cup, of course. What was it, last year? Or was it, I forget when it was, but recently, certainly. So England, they're outside. I mean, the US will be favourites, even though England did beat them in the Sheep Believes Cup.
It was a lovely
steered. They've got a chance,
it was a lovely steered finish from White under pressure. I thought she had very little time to steer that past the
game. Well, she'd had one ruled out for offside as well, correctly, but kept her head up, which is great.
What do we think of Phil Neville wearing the old Gareth Southgate waistcoat?
Into it.
Yeah,
really into it.
I don't mind it.
No.
It bodes well, doesn't
it? It's good attire for that temperature.
Southgate wearing
sensible.
A jumper in Portugal.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to
it. You can tell Southgate's trying to get away from the waistcoat reputation. Yeah. He's not worn one since, has he? Mm. I wonder what he's going to bring out for the next tournament.
Cravat.
Yeah, I love that.
Cravat.
A Paul Tisdale.
Yeah.
Assuming England get there, Luke.
Yeah. Come on.
Come on.
Have you seen those Three Lions recently?
Oh. It's been really good. There's reports of like the actual attendances have been far lower than anybody expected and stuff. Like FIFA have been going on about they've sold out so many so many of the actual fixtures, but not in the group stages. It was actually quite quiet. It's just disappointing to see, really.
FIFA talking shite again.
Yeah. FIFA talking shite again.
Still though, the platform for this Women's World Cup is brilliant, isn't it? It's the most visible it's ever been. And I think actually one of the real highlights of this season across the board has not just been, you know, the prevalence of female pundits and commentators and co-commentators that we've started to see a bit more since the last World Cup, but also the journalistic approach to women's football is put it front and centre in a way we've never seen before.
Oh, we're not talking like red button anymore. We're talking like front and centre. BBC One. I'm really looking forward to the Argentina-Japan match later this afternoon. The Brazil-Jamaica one as well. Like Jamaica, Khadija Shaw is an athlete. She is like Jamaica had they've gotten so many positions I thought they were going to turn over Brazil, but obviously it's Brazil, even though they've got a lot of injuries. It's I can see Brazil getting pretty far in that competition.
Absolutely, yeah. Absolutely. All right, ladies and gentlemen, after this break, we're going to talk about our season predictions and unveil them. See you in a minute.
Luke, your right to reply.
It began over 10 years ago in a rented house in Harston.
I'd like to see James Richardson back on terrestrial television.
4 microphones and a mini disc recorder.
In all seriousness, the Guardian's Football Weekly is brilliant.
Now it's listened to worldwide by millions.
So James Richardson is see what he is. He ticks all the boxes. He's a junior authority of the game.
Come with us on a summertime journey through the history of the Football Ramble.
Cool. He's a respected journalist, no doubt about that.
10 years of the Football Ramble.
And not only that, he's fucking funny as well.
Starting this Thursday, the 13th.
My right to reply is, why are you only using clips from the last 3 months? if it's a 10-year special.
Sound quality's terrible,
isn't it? Yeah. I wish it was a bit worse. I'm glad
Do you think I'm funny as well?
As if he thinks James Richardson's more of a laugh than Marcus. You're having a laugh saying that. I'm sure there'll be plenty of gems, and that is, of course, the whole point of doing it.
Oh, so massively. There are some foresight stinkers in there. Yeah, there really is.
Just so people know, for context, it's currently being checked again for libel.
I edited it. I don't know what's going to
end up. It's
being
checked right now as we speak. So there we go.
We'll see how it goes.
We were all fans of James Richardson back in the day. There's nothing to be ashamed of. He's a lovely chap as well. So,
yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Nothing to be ashamed of. He's fucking funny as well.
Yeah. Well, I'm used to sitting in a room with you three.
Right then.
Here we go.
The season predictions unveiling begins. So we predicted Premier League winner, relegated teams, dark horse, first manager to be sacked / leave, top scorer, player of the season, player with most red cards, and some notable mad shit. That
right.
Happened.
So, should we start off with Premier League winner and
Premier
go around
League
the
winner.
Table?
Okay.
And we're going to tick off and things that we can tick off because some of the things are open for debate, aren't they?
Absolutely.
So, Premier League winner.
The Premier League winner, of course, was Manchester City. Luke, what did you put?
I got Manchester City.
BT.
I got Manchester City.
Jimmy.
I got Manchester City.
And I got Manchester City.
There we go.
Round of applause.
Two horse race. Yeah. What? Yeah.
That was a shame. That was my only chance of nudging myself into the lead against somebody. All right. Relegated teams. They were, of course, Huddersfield, Fulham and Cardiff. Luke Moore.
Huddersfield.
Mm-hmm.
Cardiff.
Yep.
And Brighton.
And Brighton. Oh, very close.
Two out of three.
That
Brighton
was pretty
close.
Decent. That's about as close as you can get
luck.
While also being wrong.
Yeah.
Petey.
I went for Cardiff, Huddersfield. And Watford.
Yeah, Watford finished 11th. Had a good season. Went to the FA Cup
Still
final.
Got two out of three though, Donny.
Not bad.
Not too bad.
I also went for Cardiff, Huddersfield and Bournemouth.
Blunderbussing, aren't we?
I went to Cardiff, Huddersfield and Southampton. Oof. So I was
We were all decided on Cardiff and Huddersfield. Yeah. Then.
Ultimately wrong. Now, Dark Horse are sort of...
We have to open for the we have to decide between us who's got the best here.
I think Wolves would be the closest if we're gonna have to land somewhere.
Man United.
Sometimes packages can be bad.
We're gonna land somewhere, let's land with Wolves because that's what I've got.
But it's open to debate. Jim, what do you think? I'm willing to be a floating voter here.
Pete, what have you got?
I've picked Watford going down, but I've also picked Watford as a surprise package. They are technically a surprise package.
FA Cup final.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's well, what I'm saying, guys. And they finish a lot higher than you'd
11th.
Expect.
Yeah. 11th. No, you can't have Watford, I'm afraid.
Oh.
Jim?
I've gone for Wolves as well.
Okay.
And well done, Jim. I went for Everton, who finished 8th, so...
About par for them, really.
Yeah. To be honest, I don't think Everton would be.
Nah. No. I think it's Wolves.
I think Wolves. Yeah. I think we're happy with that.
Okay.
First manager to be sacked was Slavisa Jokanovic, of course. Who was then followed by Mark Hughes and then Jose Mourinho.
Well, didn't we have first manager to be sacked or leave?
Or leave, yes.
Yeah. Okay.
So, Luke, what have you got?
I've got Jose Mourinho.
Oh, unlucky.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've also got Jose Mourinho.
I went for Claude Puel.
I went for Mark Hughes, so...
Oh, you got second. That's not bad. That's
yeah, decent. but it wasn't on the mark.
No.
Top scorer, Mo Salah, Sadio Mane... And Mr. Aubameyang. So, you know, a lot of choices there.
Yeah.
Who got one of them right, Luke?
I went Sergio Aguero.
Petey.
Aubameyang.
Did you?
No, you didn't.
You forgot to fill it in.
Yeah,
Watford.
When we got Charlie to do this to remind us, he comes back, he goes, oh, Luke, a bit of problem. What's that? Pete hasn't done a top scorer.
Doesn't matter. It's going to be Aubameyang, isn't it? I already knew. Everyone knew.
It's annoying because you're less wrong than me.
Yeah, exactly.
Were you thinking that nobody would score?
I spoiled
no goals. Yeah.
My legendary goal record. I just spoiled my ballot. Fuck it.
Jim?
I went for Harry Kane.
Yeah, I went for Harry Kane as well, and that didn't happen.
That's funny that we all missed it. Really strange.
And there were three winners.
Because we know a lot about football.
Yeah, but I think Mo Salah was the one that somebody should have gone for. Pete, perhaps.
I've written James Richardson.
Okay, fair enough. Player of the season, Luke Moore. It was Van Dijk. Did you have Van Dijk?
I think you know the answer to that.
Yeah, that's a no.
I had Sergio Aguero again. Very much exit all in one basket scenario. Yeah. The reason I went for that is because I think... I can't remember the specifics, but Aguero is very underrepresented in these kind of things.
Yes. And you think that he would like get it given after loads of seasons.
Remember it happened to Ryan Giggs, didn't it?
It did.
So I thought he might bang him in and everyone go, do you know what? Actually, he deserves it.
Yeah. Well, remember
at
the end of Ryan Giggs' career, they were sort of going, God, he's been here such a long time. Like, nobody sort of realises how much work he puts in and how good he is because he's just been a fixture for such a long time. Same with Aguero, I think.
PED, who have you put?
All right, mate.
Yeah.
All right, mate. I'll slow this piece of shit down if I want to. Player of the season, Riyad Mahrez.
That is an outrageous shout.
Well,
by you.
I thought he'd get some
that
games,
bad.
He'd tear
it
up.
Doesn't
he'd take his career to the next level.
It needs to be a starting player.
I didn't know he was going to be starting.
He did start a lot early on, but Guardiola likes to rotate.
To be fair, I had Bernardo Silva last year and he hardly got on the team last year, so fair enough.
Yeah.
Jimbo?
So I had Eden Hazard, which for a time I thought, I might be onto something.
Not a bad shout, really.
It
won't be him next year.
I went down the Luke Moore route and put all my eggs in one basket and went for Harry Kane. And my thinking was, of course, Spurs will be in that new bleeding stadium sort of fairly early on. We were hammering the goals and whatnot. So I was stitched up by developers again.
Out of order.
Yeah.
And you can hear from that developer on the Ramble Meets. Tom Jones, good guy. Bloody good rep.
Right to reply.
Yeah.
But he's ruined my prediction there.
Yeah.
Player with most red cards. The answer is Wes Morgan and Pierre-Emile Højbjerg. They both got two red cards each this season.
This category is always a bit underwhelming because you think someone's going to get loads and no one ever does.
I mean, like the highest ever is what, three in a season, is it? That might be Frank Sinclair, or is that, is did he get the most own goals? I think I'm something. Yeah, I don't think that's right. Still, it's generally not that high.
Yeah.
Have you got any more facts you're not sure about? I've got loads, mate.
That's what he's known for.
Loads.
He's allowed to slow it down with his fake facts. Unbelievable.
Yeah. I had Wes Morgan and Højbjerg for with two each.
Okay, fair enough.
No, I had Naby Keita.
Naby Keita.
Didn't get any.
Petey.
Wilfred Ndidi.
Okay.
But Wes Morgan obviously took all of the
Took all the heat.
Where did you go for Ndidi? That's interesting.
Because he's got a pretty bad disciplinary record previous seasons.
Okay.
I used data.
Yeah.
To inform my opinion.
A kind of deep maths.
Yes.
Which proved to be wrong.
I used some deep learning.
Yeah.
Jimmy?
I assume that this is the exact wording that I sent in because I've gone for Granit fucking Xhaka.
That's fair. I went for Marko Arnautović.
Okay, I can see what you're going for there. Yeah.
But annoyingly, he had his head turned and then he just couldn't be bothered.
None of us got that right.
None of us got that right.
Here we go, the notable mad shit section, the highlight of everything.
Yeah, notable mad shit. Again, we're very open for debate, of course. Luke, what have you gone for?
I've got Neil Warnock physically fights someone.
Oh, very close.
Did that happen?
Yeah. No, sadly not.
It looked like he was about to fight a camera.
He verbally fought people, but he didn't physically fight someone.
I thought he was going to go over the top at this season, but
blow his top. Yeah. I gave myself two chances. One was Marcus gets a tattoo.
Which he... Did that happen?
Take all your like clothes off now. Disrobe.
Sorry, Marcus, we need to see you completely naked.
And shaved.
so soon after the last time.
Yeah. What else?
I went for Rwandan tourism numbers fall.
Oh, because of Arsenal?
Because of the Arsenal.
Do we have a fact?
It would just be the
that?
Kiss of death for Arsenal. It hasn't happened, according to Charlie, perusing a few websites. World Travel and Tourism Council, founded in 2018, Rwandan tourism travel contributed a higher GDP than any other East African country. That doesn't say there was an increase, though. It just says that they contributed more than any other East African country.
I think you're wrong.
I mean, is your answer in the spirit of the season predictions?
Yeah, exactly.
You'd be disappointed if you spent a lot of money on an Arsenal armband and didn't get more.
So did Marcus get a Rwandan tattoo or not? Jim?
I actually went for Jose Mourinho will shove an opposing manager or referee off their feet. So similar to yours, but not quite there. And also didn't happen.
I mean, he kicked a water bottle thing over.
It's not the same,
is it? Got very aggressive. Well, do we know what was inside those water bottles?
He could have pushed a fan over and it wouldn't have been the same. Because
true, that would have been good, though.
Yeah, it would have
depending
been
on
good.
The age and...
ability.
Ability of the fan, yeah.
Ability.
Yeah. Yeah. Not having a disability.
Oh, right, I thought you meant...
I wouldn't like to see Jose Mourinho going to the wheelchair section pushing everyone over.
No,
would not be something you want to play.
Absolutely not. Marcus?
It would give us some content, though, but yeah, it would Marcus, be unwanted content.
Have you gone for Marcus gets a tattoo?
And the big reveal.
You let yourself down there because you could have won.
I went for David Luiz scores more than one overhead or bicycle kick. I thought...
Wow. That's not a big one.
Well, I thought under Sarri, I thought that Luiz, you're playing the beautiful football. David Luiz has been very quiet, really, these last sort of two or three seasons or however long it's been, really since Antonio Conte came along.
I can see where you're going.
He used to be mad.
Yeah.
Remember? He used to be proper swashbuckling stuff. He's much more conservative.
Way more disciplined.
And I wondered under Sarri, I know that there's a certain system, but I thought that he might be released a little bit more, but clearly he wasn't, so I was wrong.
He's become less risk averse, hasn't he?
Yeah, so I think Jim and Luke.
Fight
well,
it out,
I mean, I've got one, two, three, four. No, I've only got four ticks. I mean, I started off very strong and I've got nothing right after that.
I've got four as well.
So hang on. I've got three ticks, but I mean, really, it goes down to the dark horse you both picked.
Wolves. Okay, fair enough. We'll take it.
So what about first manager to leave? You had Jose Mourinho, Jim.
Yeah. I had Claude Puel. I think
on head to head, Luke edges it.
Yeah.
Third season in a row, chaps. Deal with it.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Does that include the
this is my going for gold.
That's the World Cup, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, very. Well done.
I mean, listeners, if you're listening still, don't check that. I'm pretty sure
edged it on the World Cup.
There we go.
So you've at least
got to be good at something.
It was absolutely
that and being a world expert in James Richardson.
All right, for the last time this season, let's go to the WhatsApp group.
You got a little jingle for that, Pete?
WhatsApp!
For God's sake!
Welcome, everybody. Ooh. Welcome. Thought it's been a long season. And it's been an intriguing season. We've seen some amazing football. We've seen some wonderful performances and two great teams in Man City and Liverpool. Liverpool were the champions. We see some interesting bits and pieces in the first UEFA Nations League. It's been interesting to see how that tournament has panned out.
Yeah.
But we're going to finish talking about Newcastle United.
Oh, are we?
Are we about to see Newcastle have a takeover.
No.
And Jose Mourinho replaced Rafa Benitez. There are rumours, and they're growing louder by the week.
We've spoken about this before.
Pete Donaldson.
I don't know why we have to repeat ourselves and I have to repeat my own opinion.
Yes. Go on. Yeah.
But I just don't think either is going to happen.
Well, hang on. What about this? Because Mourinho said only last year, when talking about Newcastle, I like to go there. I like the feeling of going to Mr. Robson's home. It's a nice sentiment. I like the stadium. Yeah. I like the atmosphere. I like the Geordies. And he also likes wealthy owners of football clubs.
Mm.
Luke Ball, what are you thinking?
I've just kept pretty quiet up till now. But
you've kind of missed a few shows where the takeover's been.
Well, I'm going to say.
Yep.
If, because obviously coming up after this show, it's our final show of the season, we're going to put a lot of best of shows out, as you've already mentioned. If Newcastle get a billionaire takeover
Saturday night again,
and hire Mourinho, we might have to come back in. That's what I'm saying. Because there was a picture of that you sent around. Someone took a photo of the ground where they're removing all the Sports Direct things off the stadium.
Yeah, it was just like a general re-upping of the stadium hoardings.
I was going to say, because if the next photo was this bigger ones, then fair enough. But people were reading into that, weren't they? So this could actually be possible.
Yeah, because there's a couple of Sports Direct signs in a bin. You sort of get a bit, excited.
I'm very happy with, generally speaking, the ownership of the club I support at the moment. And we want a bit of calm waters right after what Portsmouth have been through. So if I had to pick a club to get a billionaire takeover, I would pick Newcastle.
Oh, absolutely.
So I'm absolutely delighted to hear it.
But they do have a billionaire in charge at the moment.
A better billionaire.
Presumably, if Jose Mourinho and all that happened, you would love it if he went there.
Well, I don't know, because if you were to throw another sort of sugar daddied club at the top six, I think Arsenal would suffer the most from it.
Come on!
That's not the spirit of what we're talking about.
No, it's not.
Do you honestly think Newcastle United would significantly improve on the pitch with this?
No, they get worse. And that's
exactly.
Good. Jim,
think about what you're saying,
guys. Hosselu's leaving, so have a bit of respect.
Sorry,
right?
Yeah.
Rondon got a couple.
He's literally a West Brom player.
I know, that's what I mean. I'm saying that.
Imagine the beer there going, everybody went, good news, everyone, I've taken over the club. First port of call, going to get Rondon in.
Getting him back.
And then when Rondon comes in,
that's
just
a good
release a statement saying, no further business.
I'd take that.
Would you?
Again, calm waters. That's all you want.
Jim, would you take a Newcastle billionaire takeover if Arsenal got relegated?
We really are near the end of the season.
Answer next season.
Can I get back to you at the start of next season?
Yeah.
Why are your headphones not on your ears?
Because
he's on the beach.
They're hurting my ears.
They get hot, don't they?
Hot ears.
Pete, would you like to see Jose Mourinho place Rafa Benitez at Newcastle? Because that is a fair question.
Is it a fair question?
It is, because you like Rafa, but yet Mourinho coming in
is going to be not as good as Rafa.
Well, no, but Rafa, they don't exactly play wonderful.
Oh, but there's
stuff
no fun under Mourinho.
They play better
there.
Football than Jose Mourinho's Manchester United side.
It's fair to say Benitez would take it quite badly.
Just the soap opera.
Yeah.
I don't want Rafa to lose his job. However, we would find consolation in the content it would give us.
Yeah. Also, there's a thing we have to seriously address here, that for us, the podcast, if Ashley sells the club, we do lose Mike Ashley. Would we stick with Mike Ashley updates if he wasn't involved in football? Because I for one would be sad to lose the clown.
He might take over Arsenal.
Oh God, imagine.
The Sheik might actually get into the spirit of things. Start drinking, vomiting in fireplaces. Who knows?
Seems unlikely.
Who knows? Did you see also the Italian midfielder Nicolò Barella smashing the ball as hard as he could into the poor boy's face? It was obscene.
He instantly apologised, to be fair.
He did.
He jumped over the hall. I don't think he meant to do it.
No, he didn't mean to do it, but it was a beautiful shot. That kid was rattled.
It was targeted.
Like a late night unwanted text message from Pete Donaldson, followed by, I am instantly sorry.
Now, that was a phone call, by the way.
Was it a phone call?
Yeah.
Alan Shearer taking over the club?
Alan Shearer took over Newcastle United, and about 3:30 in the morning, you called me up twice.
Gets later every time.
To bypass my do not disturb on my phone, and then ranted on the phone so loud you woke up my girlfriend, and then text me saying, I'm instantly sorry.
Yeah. Mm. Is that how you get past it, Pete? Just two quick calls and you're through.
I'm instantly sorry.
That's how it used to work, do not disturb. I don't know if it still does.
Also, can you Uber me my suit around, please?
Can you Uber me home?
Yeah. Can you Uber me around to James Richardson's house, please?
That's it, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah.
But before we go, Luke Moore's got to remind you
Marcus, of
the good news that is coming.
Well,
the good news is here.
I just want to say thanks to everyone for making it possible for us to come this far and to push on even more in our pursuit of creating football podcast that everyone hopefully enjoys. Have a great summer. Enjoy the best of episodes we've got lined up for you over the next few weeks. And we'll be back before you know it, because Football Ramble Daily is coming Monday, 5th of August. Mm. Football Ramble Daily, Monday, 5th of August.
Football Ramble Daily is coming home.
It is.
But yes, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for journeying with us for another season. We couldn't and wouldn't do it without you. And you have given us more than you could ever know. And I hope we've given you something back in, you know, something worth your while. Yeah. And certainly as the Football Ramble Daily, we'll give you a lot more rambles and all that. We shall be back towards the end of July. But thank you once again, ladies and gentlemen. It's been a bloody pleasure. Luke Moore, thank you.
We're back middle of July, but the daily one starts 5th of August. Yes. I just want to make that clear. Thank you very much. Thanks to everyone. Thanks for having me. It's been great.
Well done, Pete Donaldson.
Goodbye, everyone.
Well done, Jim Campbell.
Enjoy your summer, everyone.
And well done, listeners.
Was a Radio Stakhanov production.
Just give me a high five.
Oh, sorry. I thought you wanted to do something.
It's the end of the season, isn't it?
Yeah. Well done, everyone. Well done. Well done. Well done. Jim, I can't reach you for a high five. Yeah. There we go. I hope those best ofs are good.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. And then we'll weigh around a duck.
So if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.